This week on the Recruitment Flex, should real estate agents be replaced with an app? NASA can't compete with SpaceX on pay. That's probably a good thing. There's no need for Glassdoor users to panic. Plus, time to welcome Boomerang employees. TRF with my dad and Shelly starts right now.
Welcome to the Recruitment Flex with Serge and Shelly. I'm Serge.
And I'm Shelly. And we talk all things recruitment starting right now.
Bonjour and welcome to the Recruitment Flex. Shelly, how you doing?
Doing really good. I'm actually taking some time off.
I know. I was surprised. Yeah.
I am.
Because I'm booking like interviews and stuff. Being like, actually, I'm on vacation. I'm like, we've been doing this for 4 years, Shelly. I've never seen you actually do a vacation that you're staying local. It's pretty rare.
Yes. Yes. I'm actually really excited about it, even though I'm not going anywhere sexy or glamorous. But my favorite auntie is coming up from Fort Knox, Kentucky. So she's coming up to visit. She's not been to Canada in 10 years.
Kentucky. I don't think I've ever met anyone from Kentucky. She's going to find it a culture shock here, especially if we still have snow on the ground, which we do right now.
I know. But I've been sending her pictures. And I'm like, don't worry, it'll all be gone by next Wednesday.
Well, so, Shelly, I hope you had fun with your auntie. And I'm glad that you're taking some time off here.
Thank you.
Are you still going to host or should I find another host for those couple of weeks?
We've got it covered. We've got it covered. Her plane doesn't come in till noon and we'll record a little bit earlier.
That is right. Shelly, one thing that I've noticed recently, I don't know if you've seen the same, on LinkedIn, I spend a lot of time there and I'm seeing a lot of influencers having their posts what I call hijacked. So people putting random messages promoting their company. And recently I've seen that recruiters are just going in the comments and putting, I have these roles to hire. And happened to us last week where someone just hijacked one of our Recruitment Flex posts and basically put some random roles that I don't even know where they're at. I'm like, does this work? What is this strategy? Seems crazy. And like Shelly, I've noticed that this has been happening from companies commenting on our posts, and it's obviously AI because it's not even close to the highlights of what we posted. What is going on? Like, it must work if people are doing this, or just another way to spam.
Do you know? Well, I saw Mr. Barry Beckner. Don't know who.
Oh, you're calling him out, Barry Beckner.
Anybody can go look at our post and see that Barry Beckner, a recruiter from God knows where, the middle of nowhere, USA, decided to post his job ad, which is so badly done, clearly a hijack. And clearly something that he believes is a strategy. So, hey, Barry, what's up? What the hell? And I don't think it's a bot, Serge.
It's not a bot.
I don't think it's AI. I think it is somebody. And I bet if you asked him, he would think he's doing us a favor.
Oh,
that somehow he's bringing us more traffic because he's so popular.
Yeah.
I have no idea. It's so weird to see it in the comments.
Well, and these types of things is what gives staffing a bad reputation.
Oh,
there's no strategy. It's just like pump everything out, put it in front of everyone and hope someone sees it and wants to apply for the job. It's not strategic. I'm like, he's probably trying to figure out LinkedIn. Someone told him that this is a hack that you can use. So he's trying it. I don't think he came up with this. Like in the picture, he looks like he's 72. So I don't know.
It's probably the best picture he has of himself, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, the best analogy is this, Serge. It's equivalent to hiring a helicopter with 1,000 loose leaf pieces of paper to drop over the parking lot at Chinook Mall on a Saturday and hope that flyer lands on the windshield of somebody who is a cybersecurity software specialist. That's the strategy here, Barry. Listen, why don't you just hire yourself a helicopter and drop pamphlets?
Oh, I think a helicopter idea is a way better idea. I think that would work way more. Like, it's a Recruitment Flex account. We get decent traffic on it, but it's not like millions of people, right? Like, you're not hitting a massive audience. So, whatever. don't care, but if you're a recruiter and you're doing this, it's pretty stupid. And when I see it, I'm like, so stupid. But on the other side of just fantastic, Matt Alder, our friend at Recruiting Future, one of the best, if not the best podcast in this industry, he is celebrating his 600th episode. 600 episode is insane. Anyone that does podcasting knows how much work that he has put in. So congratulations, Matt. Well deserved. Keep doing what you're doing because we love your podcast. And if you're listening and you haven't heard of it, Recruiting Future, it's based in UK. Matt has the best accent. Like, I just could listen to him talk all day. So yeah. Congratulations, Matt.
Yeah. And he does it solo.
He does.
Everyone else in the podcast world, we're paired up, right?
Yeah.
You and I, Chad and Cheese. There's a few other solos, but they're not as consistent as Matt Alder. And you're right. He has a lovely accent. So congratulations from me as well, Matt.
It's actually really encouraging because there is some weeks I'm like, what are we going to talk about again? And it shows that we have at least 300 more episodes of content if he could do it. So yeah, I guess it's good news in that end.
Yes.
But Shelley, let's jump into the news.
Hey, all right. Here in Canada, federal minimum wage is going up to $17.30 an hour as of April 1st. So the government of Canada introduced a federal minimum wage in 2021, and they actually set out a schedule of what it was going to increase and when. Because in 2022, the federal minimum wage was $15.55, and in 23, it went to $16.65, and now it's $17.30.
Do you know what the minimum wage in the U.S. is?
It's shocking. Can I guess? I'm going to guess.
Yeah, just guess.
My guess is that this is the federal minimum wage, not state by state, because it's different in every state.
Different, yeah.
So apples to apples, I believe it's somewhere around $7. Federal.
Ding, ding, ding. $7.25. And just to your point, Shelley, I think there is a federal minimum wage, but there's also provincial, and provincial can be a little bit lower. This is for any federally regulated company or the federal government, right?
Yeah.
But on average, I don't think there's a province in Canada that is under $15 right now. So massive difference between the US. $7.25 and $17 is the difference. Absolutely crazy to me. And $17, let's put it in context. And in all fairness, our cost of living here in Canada is higher than the US, but that's a huge difference. How do you live on $7.25? How do you live on $17 an hour in this current economy? I don't know how anyone does it, but I'm glad we're putting in minimums that actually kind of make sense, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Can I just add one thing?
Yeah,
I think I know how people are surviving. And that really explains what we reported on last week about gig workers and Fiverr and Upwork. But even more so, when we look at the gig economy, I watched a YouTube short yesterday where a financial advisor is doing one-on-ones. Now, and I don't know if this is true, but if you're an Uber Eats driver or a Skip the Dishes driver and you hustle, you can make $80,000 a year.
Mm.
But you got to hustle. Like, this is not a maybe don't feel like it today, but these are drivers that really hustle, take the peak hours. They're always available. They've made it their full-time job.
I think one day we have to have a discussion. We won't do it today, but on the whole Uber Eats, Skip the Dishes, DoorDash, that whole business to me is absolutely crazy. Paying $40 for a smoothie to get delivered to your house is...
If you've got the munchies, they'll do it.
Oh, of course they'll do it.
It coincides with the legalization of cannabis. Smart, because we don't want you to drive if you've got the munchies. Paying $40 for a Slurpee and a hot dog, you know what? He'll do it.
No. Well, I see it. I see my neighbor ordering DoorDash every night. And I'm just like, man, that must get crazy expensive. And I get it. Like, making food and everything takes time. And if you're using that time to do something more productive, yes. But in general, if you're eating DoorDash all the time, it's crazy how expensive. And there is someone that I know that I always saw eat DoorDash. And I'm like, dude, let's log into your DoorDash account or Skip the Dishes. And in 2.5 years, he had ordered Skip the Dishes 300 times. 300 times in just over 2 years. You're basically paying double for the same amount of food, and then you're tipping. That whole world doesn't make any sense to me, but that's a topic for a different day. Topic I do want to talk about pretty in-depth.
Yeah, this is super interesting. Thank you.
Is the real estate changes in the U.S. and how that could potentially impact what's going to happen here in Canada. Obviously, the laws are different. But Shelley, before I go into context, I want to give you maybe a little bit of my own personal thoughts on the whole real estate thing. And this is where real estate agents have been the type of job that I'm like, why haven't we replaced this with an app? You would think this is the perfect industry to disrupt because all the fundamentals around it are there, right? Mm-hmm. The challenges of doing a real estate transaction is the paperwork, but can't that be automated or at least given in a format that anyone can use? Like, I see no reason why not. But the amount of money that you pay to a real estate agent just feels like a crime. So what they have done in the US is to decouple commissions for buyer and seller agents, potentially leading to more buyers acting as their own agents in negotiations and commission rates becoming more flexible. Say the real estate commission is 6%. 3% would be going to the seller's agent, and then 3% would be going to the buyer's agent, right? Mm-hmm. And this was paid on the purchase of the house and was paid by the seller.
Always the seller. Yeah, got it.
On the seller. Mm-hmm. So now that buyer commission, they have to negotiate their own fee with a real estate agent. It's no longer split in between. It's decoupled. They're not associated. So I can now personally choose, no, I'm not going to use an agent. Or if I am going to use an agent, be like, hey, agent, I'm going to pay you 0.5% of the transaction because now it is coming out of my pocket as in the past, it was coming out of the seller. So major change. And I'm just trying to put in perspective, what is the value, right? I can look on MLS. I can call and book my own viewings. Mm-hmm. Why would I pay potentially thousands of dollars to a real estate agent? Just seems completely crazy to me. I just don't feel they're bringing that value. But like, Shelley, what's your thoughts here?
I think it's going to have a huge impact because when you look at the real estate profession,
yeah,
it is very common knowledge. 80% of people who go into real estate do not make enough money to live on.
Yeah,
there is a top 20% who do.
Yes.
And they make a very good living and they're well established in their profession. Mm-hmm. I think what's going to happen is it is going to choke off the supply of anyone coming into the industry. Most people that I have ever met that are just getting in the real estate game have dollar signs in their eyes because they know that if they sell a house for $700,000, the realtor commission is $25,000. So $12,500 goes to me. Right? So when you think about how much work you have to do, even in my regular day-to-day job, it's a huge amount of work for me to close a piece of business worth $25,000.
In your pocket, like 25.
In my pocket.
Yeah.
Mind you, they only get $12,500, whatever. What's going to happen is they're going to find fewer and fewer people will enter the profession of real estate. Will it go the way of the dodo bird? You're absolutely right, Serge. You can idiot proof on an app that will walk somebody through how to list, what to include, what not to include, what's important, how to arrange an inspection, how to arrange for condo documentation review, because it's all spelled out. Like, it really is so incredibly well defined. It's really well defined. So I love what you're saying. I think this is an industry that deserves to be disrupted.
Yeah.
For me to take a $25,000 reduction, because they're negotiating the price too. They're setting the price. They're telling you, based on this and this, here's what we should list it for. And it's in their best interest, not mine.
No, the interests are not aligned. This is where I've had an issue with real estate for a long time. I'm on TikTok often, and I found this gentleman called the older millennial explaining how I feel about real estate agents and that whole industry really well. Can we play? It's around 2 minutes. All right, let's play it.
I want to know, what do you guys think realtors should be paid?
$0, because being a realtor shouldn't even be a job anymore. I don't understand how we don't have a fucking app for this already. Like, here, if you're an app designer, let me give you a $1 billion idea. Just create an app where you can choose to be a buyer or a seller. And from that point, the app takes you step by step through the process. Let's say you're a buyer. You go into the app, put the area code that you want to buy a house in. And everybody who's uploaded as a seller on that platform shows up in that area. And then the app hand walks you through the process in like a follow the bouncing ball type of format. And instead of the current process of putting in an offer, where you write an offer, give it to your agent, that agent then takes it to the seller's agent. The seller's agent then takes that to the sellers. The sellers then have a counter proposal, which goes to their agent, which then goes from that agent to your agent. And then your agent goes and tells it to you. And then you do that process over and over again until you all agree on something. How about I just put my offer in the app? You put a counter proposal and we go back and forth on that until we decide on a price. And in there are options for you pay my closing fee, you pay my inspection fee. You just add in all those little options so you can do that back and forth with the actual seller. Then once you've agreed to purchase the homes, why don't you have a partnership with a company like eForms, which can just draw you up a contract and put all your info in where it's supposed to be. And then you have a partnership with DocuSign so you can sign everything on the app. Just have a step-by-step guide of what each side needs to do. Like, the buyer's going to need to get an inspection within 5 days. Why not just have the app tell them they have to do that and then give them the local inspectors in their area so they can just directly contact them to do the inspection? And then if one of these purchases gets too complicated, you have it where they can hire real estate attorneys through the app. I simply do not fucking understand why realtor is still a job. I certainly don't understand why they would be paid 3-6% of the cost of the home. Everything a realtor does can be replaced in an app. Everything. You can even set up the app so that it opens door locks on homes you're trying to tour. Like, you could do everything in an app that could cost $4.99. And that's $4.99, not $499 or the $4,000 or $15,000 your realtor's trying to charge you. Do you understand the average cost of a home in the US right now is $400,000? It means at best, you're going to be paying $12,000 to a real estate agent. And at worst, you could be paying around $25,000. All for what? Because they took the time to learn the process that you can look up yourself? All because they're doing something that should already be a fucking app? And here's the thing. If you want realtors to continue to be a job, here's how they should be paid. They should have an hourly rate. They should have to provide evidence of the hours they're working on my behalf. Simple as that. If you want to make money, do the actual work to earn it.
So Shelley, bang on, right?
He's kind of cute.
Yeah, no, I just think
he's a mountain man look.
Yeah, exactly. He looks like your type, right? But
it's the blue eyes. Gets me.
I agree with his points completely. And I think he's articulated how I feel about this whole industry in so many ways. And like, how do people end up in real estate? I know I investigated when I was younger. I'm like seeing all these like fancy sports car doing. I'm like, this seems like a really good gig. Then I realize you have to deal with people on a daily basis on their schedule, and there's no way I'd like to do that.
It's not for everybody.
No. Real estate agents, watch out. Your days are numbered, in my opinion, in the US, and it's coming.
It's going to happen naturally, Serge.
Yeah.
Because people will realize going in that there's not the big dollars. I think that's why people do it. And when you do anything just for the money, it fizzles out pretty quick.
I agree. So Shelley, do you want to talk a little bit about SpaceX versus NASA?
Yes. Really fun article. I spotted it on HR Grapevine, where it talked about NASA versus SpaceX. And NASA is whining and complaining that they can't compete with industry because the starting wage for an engineer at NASA is about $55,000. And SpaceX is paying $95,000, kind of no contest. So the salary comparison is one thing. The industry growth is another. And I love this article because what it really sang to me was, if you want to work for a super intense guy, Elon Musk, who is going to get things done at a pace and do things at a fraction of the cost versus somebody who wants to work for a bloated federally owned and politically charged group like NASA, right? Take your pick. Like, it's a no-brainer. This is employer brand at its best. Take the salary off the table, because somebody who wants the safety and security of working for NASA, okay, then you'll work for half price. That's what I got from it.
Yeah, it's interesting because I never considered that the salaries at NASA would be that much lower than what they are at SpaceX. But then it raises the question, why are they competing in this industry? Like, if there is a private operator that can do this at one-tenth of the cost and actually execute and be successful doing it, why is the government doing this? There's a lot of times that government institutions are created because there's no one in the private enterprise that could actually do it. And it wasn't financially viable for a company to start building spaceships when NASA did. So they created the industry, but now it's time just to step aside. And the reason I'm saying to step aside, I'll give you the example. So NASA, their heavy lift rocket called the Space Launch System has cost over $21.2 billion, right? In 10 years of them building this. And they still don't have a test trial. There's still been no rocket up in the air. Compared to SpaceX, so their heavy lift rocket, which is the Falcon Heavy, has a total of 7 landings under its belt and test flights that have blown up, not on purpose, but they knew it was a high likelihood. The cost of that has been between US $500 and $750 million. It just shows the efficiency and the ability to get things done, which a true entrepreneur like Elon Musk, and we're not arguing about what Elon Musk says or does, but as a pure entrepreneur, he has been able to be way more efficient than government. And to your point, employment brand, do you want to go work for an asshole? Like, he is an asshole. He's almost impossible to work for. The intensity of the environment is there, but you're actually getting things done and rockets are going up in the air and you're getting paid more because of it. But it's not for everyone. If you want to go in a safe space, NASA's great. You're just going to get paid less. No, really good article. Shelley, let's dive into the tip of the week.
Okay, you bet. Your tip of the week is brought to you by Plum. Plum knows that when people flourish, businesses thrive. Using science-backed insights, Plum aligns human potential with job needs, allowing you to build high-performing teams from a single platform. Ideal for improving hiring choices, identifying future leaders, and offering personalized career advice, Plum supports the entire employee journey from hire to retire. Discover more at plum.io. So my tip of the week is this. Recruiters interviewing for a recruiter role. We are held to a higher standard, and we should be. We're insiders. And if you recruit and interview people for a living, we are expecting you to ace the interview. And showing up means being prepared, researching the company, and having thoughtful and insightful questions for hiring managers. I always say that you can learn more about a candidate by the questions that they ask you. So here's my tip of the week. It's the best question to ask. When it comes your turn to ask the hiring managers or the team, here's the question. If it were 3 months from now, how would you know you've hired the right person? What have they done in the role that you are so proud of your hiring decision? And then stop talking and let them answer. That's my tip of the week.
There is a lot of recruiters looking for jobs. The good news, though, Shelley, is I've been seeing, like, on LinkedIn, a fair amount of the ones that I know getting jobs in recruitment. So there might be an upside, but you're right. Let's jump into the recruiting insights brought to you by our friends at Mitova. Shelley, are you tired of the same old outsourcing woes?
Well, say hello to nearshoring. It's like outsourcing, but closer, and it won't make you pull your hair out.
Picture this. Top-notch IT talent from Latin America.
Many Latin American IT professionals have strong English language skills and even live in the same time zone, so no more midnight conference calls. Hallelujah. Plus, Latin America's growing tech ecosystem, strong educational institutions, and a pool of skilled IT professionals make it the perfect region for recruiting talent.
I have the perfect company that does this. The company's name is Metova. They have local experts who handle everything from recruiting to HR support.
So why settle for the same old outsourcing blues when you can have the nearshoring party with Metova?
Look them up at metova.com and let's get the fiesta started. All right, Shelley, this has been everywhere. It's the recent changes at Glassdoor. I'm not exactly sure it's changes, but here is what's caused a little bit of a panic. So Glassdoor, known for allowing anonymous employee reviews, has started adding real names to user profiles without consent. Glassdoor's acquisition of Fishbowl, a professional networking app requiring identity verification, changed its term of service to necessitate user verification. So basically what happened here, Shelley, is they've been merging the Glassdoor and the Fishbowl accounts together, creating a profile name. So in the past, when you're adding your Glassdoor review, they still verify you, right? You need to put your email address of where you worked. You need to be able to verify that you actually worked there. Did they ask you for your name and any additional information? No, in general, they did not. Fishbowl does require that information, and now they've merged that together. The challenge and where I think this has gotten way overblown is people have the assumption now that suddenly all the reviews that they've put, their names are going to be associated with. And that is just not the case from everything I'm reading. Your reviews are still completely anonymous. This is a nothing burger to me. I don't think it's a big deal, but it's definitely causing a lot of, I guess, concern.
A nothing burger?
You've never heard that?
Nothing. No, I've had a Glassdoor profile for so long. I really had to challenge my memory banks to think about when I first registered and built a profile. I swear I did have to give them my name, because if I'm going to provide a review for my employer, how else would they validate that I actually worked there? Like, you can't log in with a nothingburger123@gmail.com and start hacking and burning down employers that you've never worked for. So I do remember building a profile, because it has stuck with me ever since, that there had to be some way to validate. Now, have you been on Fishbowl search?
I have.
Okay. Yeah. So on Fishbowl, it has your first name and your initial or whatever.
Yeah.
So to participate in these groups, you have to show that you've got interest in, say, HR management or recruitment or whatever, right? So you're opting into a group, and then you can chime in and provide advice or what have you. I don't see another way to do it, because otherwise it just could be some random, right, providing advice. It's not like I can see you're commenting on a Fishbowl thread and I'm going to naturally draw the conclusion that that was you that left a bad review over at nmax.com.
You are right, but it only asked your email address. It never asked your name, your last name, or anything like that. The address had to be verified from what I remember, but that's it. The other factor is, like, how relevant is Glassdoor anymore? And we won't argue that point.
Why not?
I
I would actually challenge you to say that in some industry sectors, Glassdoor reviews are super relevant and they're on the upswing.
Yeah, your propaganda doesn't work with me. It's definitely not. There's no relevancy. The Glassdoor has been replaced by TikTok when it comes to people going out there and sharing their real feelings. And I just don't see the relevance of Glassdoor reviews.
You know what? That's a really excellent point. I think there is a certain demographic that will stay loyal to Glassdoor, and it's part of the job seeker journey. You just want to validate, is this rant on TikTok valid? And then you go look at their reviews on various sites, and it's kind of a consistent theme. I think it'll stay part of the journey of somebody who's top talent wanting to change jobs or considering making a move. Good point.
I am full of those. Shelley, let's move on to the next recruiting insight.
Okay. You know me and my reports.
Yeah, you love reports.
So I found a wonderful report here. This is the Global Trends 2024 report, which is 6,000 TA leaders from around the world. And it's an extensive report. So I cherry picked the things that I think I'm interested in, I think our audience is interested in. Successful workplaces in 2024. This is just, again, more data supporting that skills-based hiring is on the upswing, and artificial intelligence. So I just wanted to speak to those couple of topics, because this survey, 96% of respondents, like this is a huge number, it's staggering, said that they are now looking at candidates' ability to learn new skills while assessing their skills that transfer to new responsibilities as roles evolve over time. So how do you do that? How do you determine not just their current skills, but their ability to learn new skills? That is the secret sauce. And being able to identify transferable skills that encourage employees to pursue roles that they may have otherwise not have thought about. So the trend that we're seeing is that companies are starting to look inside first. Who are those potentials? And the measurement of potential is, are you trainable? Do you have what it takes to learn new skills as part of their assessment? So I thought that was super, super interesting. On this topic, the other thing I really liked was 65% currently use skill assessments specifically to determine somebody's potential.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I love, Shelley, that you did not mention who the report was written by, but let's give them credit. It's HireVue. Mm-hmm. It's a really good report because you're right. It has 6,000 talent acquisition leaders, which is a great sample size. I want to talk about the last point you had as far as the identifying transferable skills. It's like going back to the 80s, 70s, 60s, 50s. That's how companies used to hire and promote people. Most of the roles were not external. They were all internal. To get a new role, you'd start at the bottom, develop your skills, get promoted, go in different roles. That's how corporate worked, right? Overall. And that's why people stayed in company for a really long time, because there was a natural progression. The job boards changed all of that. And I'm not saying this as a negative, as you know, I'm a job board guy, but it did change because the options that are out there as far as candidates, companies start thinking, well, it's easier just to hire someone with a skill, which was never how we did it for centuries. We basically hired a person, groomed them, trained them, gave them the skills, and then put them in those roles. And then new junior people would come in and start the same journey. Obviously, the world, the economy, there's been a global transformation as far as like how we work. That's changed it as well. But I love that we're thinking about this again, that, hey, yeah, maybe this person doesn't have that specific skill set or is not trained, but look, they have this and this, and we can train them. They have the institutional knowledge. They know how to make their way through a company to go to the right person. There's so many advantages of doing that. So I'm glad they called that out. Definitely good to go back in history sometimes.
Everything that's old is new again.
Yes. What a perfect segue, Shelley, because I want to talk about boomerang employees. There's a really cool article that you shared here, and it's not something I even considered, because during the 2021, 2022, we were love bombing a whole lot. The market was extremely hot. Companies were recruiting like crazy. And we were throwing all this money. And to your earlier point, if you're just taking the job for the money, you're going to burn out at one particular point, or it's not going to be as green. Then you have all these companies advertising that they're the greatest place to work. Then you start working there a month in, you're like, ah, shit, I got duped. And I think that's what's happened. So to give you an idea of what that looks like, employees who return to their former employer after having previously left their position has increased by around 30% following the pandemic and the Great Resignation. I think the sector that has increased by far the most is sectors with high seasonality, such as accommodations and food and services and retail. not surprised by this. I think we're seeing a lot more of this that got attracted by tons of opportunities, more money, thinking this is going to be something different. I want to change my life. I'm going to take this job. Then quickly realizing, hey, maybe I was better off at the company. They treated me well. They paid me fairly. I knew the people. What's your take here, Shelley?
All of the above. And I want to also add what was super cool about this study is they talked about when.
Yeah.
So I know you said like a month in, you realize, oh, the grass isn't greener. But how long do you stay?
Yeah.
Before you start romanticizing about your last employer. And so this study answered that question, is that half of them returned within 2 years of leaving. And this is across all sectors. So what is super interesting is prior to COVID, the boomerang effect, or those that returned to a former employer, hovered somewhere around 2.5%. And now in 2024, it is closer to 3.5%. I know that's a big one percentage. But when you look at the overall job market, that is huge. And yes, there's an incredible spike of those people that left maybe the hourly or hospitality or seasonal workers.
Yeah.
But they did track it all the way up to 5 years. Like you go and work somewhere else for up to 5 years and then come back.
Shelley, I think this goes to the point in thinking about how recruiters can take advantage of this. And one of the things that I always focused on when I was leading talent acquisition was creating an alumni network, right? Like a way to keep connected to these people formally or informally. And obviously, the better the workplace you were, the more likelihood that you want to join that alumni and that you're happy that you work there. I still attend events for companies that I worked for 10 years ago, because I'm still part of their Facebook group and different things that I've been involved in. What a great way to keep them engaged. And when that time comes, the recruiter reaching out, being like, hey, if you're ever open, like, don't hesitate to reach out. It's a great way to recruit people, in my opinion.
It is, because usually the reason you left isn't there anymore.
Exactly. Exactly. That's such a good point.
Yes. Because it's usually the leader that you had that was holding you down and they're not there anymore. Would I go back? Oh my God. I had such a good time. Such a good time. Did so many amazing things. But you know what? Sometimes going backwards isn't a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, no. And it's not always, right? But even if you don't hire, I still think it's very valuable for you to stay connected with your employees that have been there before. So I don't think there's any harm in an alumni type network.
Yeah.
All right, Shelley, we've covered a lot again. A couple things coming up. We've got some hiring branch events coming up that we haven't locked in the date, but it's coming. An event with our friends at Plum in Toronto that we're excited. Mm-hmm. What's the date again, Shelley? May 2nd.
Yes.
And
it's going to be like enviable. Seriously.
Yes.
Can you imagine being invited out with all of your peers? These are all people that are thought leaders and at a very senior level in talent acquisition. And that's who's on the list.
And then TA Tech in Washington, D.C. in June. Myself and Shelley will be the MCs for the event. So please do get your ticket if you haven't. I know they're running really tight right now. They're almost sold out. So go get your ticket as quickly as possible. On that note, Shelley, have a fantastic weekend. Enjoy Easter.
Thank you.
Good Friday. And listeners, thank you for listening.
Happy Easter. Au revoir.
Shelley, let's face it. Texting candidates is the easiest way to hire quicker today. But your cell phone doesn't connect to your ATS. You're sharing your personal number with strangers. That's pretty scary, right, Shelley? And it's not even legally compliant.
This is where our friends at RecText come in. They've created simple yet powerful text recruiting software that works with your ATS. Plus, it's designed by recruiters for recruiters, so you know it works. To learn more and book a demo, visit www.rectxt.com. Mention the Recruitment Flex and get 10% off annual plans.
Do you love news about LinkedIn, Indeed, Google, and just about every other recruitment tech company out there?
Hell yeah. I'm Chad.
I'm Cheese.
We're the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
All the latest recruiting news and insights are on our show.
Dripping in snark and attitude.
Subscribe today wherever you listen to your podcasts.
We out.